Yeah. Roll with the punches.
Yes, exactly. Anyway. I'm gonna find this picture and send it to you. And
okay.
I'm gonna post it on the stories later so we can all make fun of how fucking annoying I am.
I can't wait.
I cannot wait.
I cannot wait. I'll be the first one. Perfect. Friends by Accident.
Podcast hosts on purpose. This is what you get when two Canadian women who come from completely different backgrounds serendipitously meet in a Brooklyn apartment.
This is Accidental Friends with Aline Deggan and Kristen Mandela.
Sure is.
When you were saying the serendipitously meet in a Brooklyn apartment, I miss that apartment.
I do miss that apartment too.
It really just like kind of, yeah, I don't know, in that moment, whatever, it was like, oh man, I really freaking
miss. A little twinge of nostalgia.
Yeah, I really felt
it. I've been feeling so much nostalgia lately as I'm like packing up my whole life. I'm like a deeply nostalgic person. I also have so many like freaking knickknacks. Are you a knickknack person? Like,
I'm a knickknack. Like, yeah. Save stuff? Yeah. So every place I've ever lived, I always have a memory box where I like keep cards. If I don't know what to do with something, I put it in the memory box and then I go through it like a couple years later to see if it has the same meaning to me or if I can even remember like what it was, and then I throw it out. So I try to like, I try to make it smaller, but
that's smart though. I like that.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, something that meant to me, something to me now, for whatever reason, may not mean something to me 5 years from now if I can't even remember what that thing is from.
Totally, totally.
You know?
I've been finding that same thing. I have a lot of, like, I don't have a lot of trust in myself with this process because there have been so many times, and my mom can attest to this, where I got, like, so frustrated with how many things that I had that I would, like, really do this massive purge. And then, like, a month later, I'd be like, did I really just donate that item? Or did I really just throw that thing? And I literally still have, no joke, flashbacks of certain pieces of clothing that I know that I've gotten rid of when I was in like a manic, like purging space. And I miss it. Like, I know that sounds so silly, but like I literally had a Bonnaroo tank top that I could have just kept forever as like literally just a piece of that memory of going to, And instead I was like, whatever, I'll be back at some point. Never went back. Like, what a fucking stupid thing to do. And it had all of my favorite bands that had played on it. It was just so dumb. Like, stuff like that. So in this process of me packing up our entire lives, I feel like I'm having that distrust again where I'm like, shit.
Am I going to throw something away
that like we're going to get back and we're going to be like, where the hell is this thing? Like, probably not. But I still, because I don't trust myself with my my judgment sometimes, I'm like, really, it's taking the process a bit longer sometimes.
For sure. Yeah, you'll develop that trust again now whenever you pack up, and then
either way it's happening, so it's like whether the trust is there or not, I gotta start moving through some shit.
You gotta do it because you're moving to España,
which I think is kind of where this conversation started, where we were talking about like, well, obviously just life changes, but also our body changes and the bureaucratic process of Well, we're just getting older, so we can't be like, Mom, can you book me an appointment? It's like now we have to actually try to find our own GPs. And you were talking about how you have like the very rare experience of having like a really wonderful doctor.
Yeah.
I have had the exact opposite experience.
Which is, this is, okay, so I feel like I hear that more commonly with a family doctor. So I've had the same doctor since I was 13, 14, like however old you are when you stop going to a pediatrician. Since then, I've had this same doctor. School. Yeah. And so this same doctor is my entire family's doctor. My dad's, my mom's, my brother's, my sister-in-law's, I believe. Nice. She was like the last patient like he took in. And we were really like, please, please, please. Because I think it was like when my sister-in-law was pregnant or whatever, when they were engaged, like along those lines. And he was kind of iffy about even taking her on because he is the best. Like, he is so great with his patients. And so nice. I've never, like, the reason I think I love him so much is that, like, I really trust him. And he never, if I'm like, hey, I feel like this, I don't know, it's kind of worrisome, he's like, okay, no problem, I'll just send you for like a, for a whatever, instead of being like, it's fine, you're fine.
Right.
He's like, I think it's fine, but if it'll help you feel calmer, I'll send you for an ultrasound, I'll send you for this, I'll send you for that.
So
and
nice.
He's done that like multiple times. And you never have to wait in his waiting room. Like, in fact, if you're there early, he will probably see you early. Wow. I've been in his waiting room over the
last... He runs a tight ship, this man.
Yeah. And also, shout out to his receptionist, Lydia, who, like, literally kills it, because she obviously is the one scheduling and she doesn't whatever. But I think in the 20 years that I've been there, I have maybe seen a max of 3 other people in the waiting room.
Really?
Yeah. It's incredible. And I've never been like, I've never gotten there for a 10 o'clock appointment and been seen at even 10:15. I'm not even joking.
Okay. So I don't know where this man dropped from, probably exactly. Heaven, but so, my experience have been the exact opposite of that.
So my mom, I'll tell you. So this is why. So now that he's retiring, or he's like moving to another clinic. So I have to find my own family doctor.
Right. Which is where this whole conversation was born out of. Yeah.
So apparently my mom found him years ago when she was pregnant with my brother, and she was at another doctor, like, down the hall or something.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, I'm looking for a family doctor, blah, blah, blah. And her doctor at the time, it was, I guess, for a baby doctor. Anyway. He was like, oh, I know this lovely young man who just started his own practice. Let me go introduce you. And literally took my mom's hand and walked her down the hallway to my now current doctor. And at the time, the doctor and my mom were around the same age. So they were like late 20s, early 30s, like 30 max.
Yeah.
And so that's why she has been with him literally since the early days of his practice.
So cool.
So now I have to go through that process and I don't know where to go.
So how are you feeling about the process of having to reintroduce yourself to like you obviously have such a underbed of trust with this person. It's obviously going to be pretty uncomfortable.
So, but he was obviously a man. And so any of like my physicals or any female issues, I always, when I was younger and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to get this test and that. Like when I'm older, I used to get really worried because I was like, he's a man. That's so weird. But I had so much trust in him, and I really, really trust him that now I don't want to look for a male doctor. Like, no way. Because I just don't have that trust.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to look for a female doctor. But it's really hard to find doctors who are accepting new patients.
Totally. So yeah, that's something that
I feel like I have to go through the list on, what is it, College of Physicians or something. No idea. There's a website and you can look by area. I'll try to find it. My mom told me about it because she's like, I don't know what to do. She's like, I've been going to the same guy for 34 years. And she's like, and now me and your dad also have to find a new doctor.
Totally.
So it's a big debacle in our family. We're so sad he's leaving.
That is sad. But honestly, like, so grateful, I feel like, because you actually had so many years of great practice. Because for me, my experience was I had a similar situation where my doctor was the doctor that she actually birthed, or not birthed, but like she was the doctor that helped my mom give birth to both me and my brother. And then I never had a pediatrician. She was just like our GP for our entire lives. Like literally up until the time I was 25, maybe, I had the exact same doctor. And I had the opposite experience with you, where she had a very cut and dry, no-frills style of communication. And I have always had a little bit of medical anxiety. And by a little bit, I mean like a pretty healthy spoonful of it. Mm. I just like always was worried that something was wrong. I didn't have a very close connection, I guess, to my body. So I wasn't really like very intuitive to be like, this seems like a normal, natural function. Like nobody was really talking to me about that kind of stuff. So I really was like, anything that was changing, which was happening a lot, especially in like middle school, early high school, when my medical anxiety first kind of started, I didn't have like a baseline of like what my body should be feeling or looking like.
Right.
And I remember going to her and like expressing some concern about like having cancer. And she literally like laughed, like not a joke, laughed. And she was like, well, you don't have cancer. And I was like, okay, well, like that's not a medical diagnosis. Like that's not helpful to my state of mind, because it's more dismissive than anything. And my mom would kind of bring me in to be like, hey, doc, can you like talk to her, kind of talk her down? And she was just never effective in that at all. Like it actually only, because I was like, these are the stories that happen where like somebody gets dismissed by their doctor and then they end up being sick. Like it almost fueled it more because she was so ineffective in her communication. And I always remember whenever I had to get paps or anything like that, like anything to do with like my reproductive system, she literally was like so gruff and like, she's like, yeah, just like let your knees fall. Like, I'll be there in a second. I'm like, okay, well, like I'm literally 18. So this is like my nightmare.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
And I remember this so specific. I've probably told this story to you at some point, but she literally came into the room. I have my pants off. I'm wearing like the bottom like gown. Yeah, yeah, thing. Yeah. We all know it well. Feet are in the stirrups. I'm not comfortable at all. And she comes in and she is eating yogurt out of a tub and has a camping headlight on, like a spelunking cave thing on. And she's like, you about ready? And I'm like, are you ready? Like, you literally look like you're going camping. But she used the headlight to be able to see inside of my uterus.
What?
And it was like so off put. Like, I can't even describe eating yogurt while wearing a headlight. I like literally the image is like,
I wish somebody simultaneously could see my face.
Absolutely like, hilarious and nightmarish. You know what I mean?
That sounds like a waxing experience I've had. Like, that doesn't totally sound like a doctor.
No. And so that happened, obviously. And then I had some things where I've had some medical stuff that didn't go like to plan. Like, I had some atypical cells that they thought were precancerous. So I had to get like a lot of paps. Like, I think every 4 to 6 months I was getting a pap.
Oh, wow.
And I was getting biopsies and it ended up being fine, which is great. Yeah. And they ended up realizing later, because I guess like also women's reproductive health is like pretty far behind. Like, I think we trust a lot in our medical science, but a lot of it is still like in development. And they realized recently, because I was talking to my new doctor, and they were saying that like having regular pap tests at a really young age when your body is still developing, like actually is not helpful. And it doesn't actually give like accurate readings, I guess, or something. I don't know. So they're doing them like later and less often. And I was like, oh, well, like that would have helped because I was getting them so frequently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
that it was not okay.
I ended up having like one kind of deal breaking experience. And she was also like very weird in terms of like my virginity, quote unquote, and being very like just had no tact at all.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like would ask me like sexual, like not sexual questions, but like if I was sexually active, like in front of my mom, when I'm like, I'm obviously not, like no matter what, love you mom, was not going to be honest regardless.
Yeah.
Eventually I made the transition to what is my dad's family doctor. My little sister amazing. Is on that doctor. And I was like, oh, she's going to be so much better. She was basically like a diet of the first doctor.
Got it. Yeah,
much
yeah, yeah.
Like much nicer and softer, but like still quite dismissive. And that's kind of my issue that I've been having now because I have a lot of GI issues. At the beginning of this year, I was having like really intense, what I eventually figured out was cysts rupturing. Like I was having ruptured ovarian cysts. Yeah, super painful. And but even still, like I'd go into the doctor and they'd be like, crazy. Yeah, I'm not really sure what that could be. I'm like, well, I would love a little bit of curiosity. Like, where's your sense of curiosity here?
That's and it was insane. Very oh like, this it doesn't seem urgent. To go look it doesn't for seem a urgent.
I know. I'm so sorry. Because it wasn't like, I think a lot of the doctors that I've encountered have like, if you're not on your deathbed, it's like, you're fine. You're so young. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, cool. But like, I'm actually not that young anymore. Spoiler alert. And people get sick at my age. Like people get sick at all ages. People get sick at like 6 months old.
Yeah.
So,
I really had to advocate
so much for myself, which is something that has been a life lesson for me. Even when I remember like when I first got my first ever tattoo, I was dating that boyfriend and like my previous partner. And he had a lot of tattoos. I was like, oh, whatever, it'll be fine. And the tattoo artist was like, so there's a story. There's a point to this story.
Okay.
But he was so dismissive and he was just kind of like very condescending about the fact that it was my first tattoo. So he didn't let me change the font when I wasn't 100% sure on it. And to this day, I still look at my tattoo and I'm like, I wish I – like I'm so indifferent to it. I barely see it anymore. But it's like I really wish that I was comfortable advocating for myself more to be like, listen, hotshot, like I don't give a shit. Like I want this. Yeah, like I need to have a second look and I need to like look at a different font because I'm not loving this.
For sure.
And I didn't. So I always look at myself and it's honestly like it sat as a reminder for me for standing up for myself because I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I don't love this, but this is a really good reminder for me that I need to stand up for myself more. And I have the exact same experience with my doctors where it's a muscle that I need to practice. And even to this day at 31 years old, I'm sitting down with my doctor and they're kind of being like, yeah, like whatever, you might have this, you might have that. And I'm like, okay, well, like I would like an x-ray, I would like an ultrasound, I would like this, I would like a biopsy. And I had to get like significant, like I, okay, in the month of April, I got a thyroid biopsy. I got two rounds of blood work. I got an inter and external ultrasound.
Okay.
And Jesus. I got an x-ray. I already said x-ray. I don't know. I got a lot of stuff to try to figure out what the cyst, like what the really intense pain was. Oh, and I got a colonoscopy. Like not a joke. Like I was in a lot of pain and I was just super uncomfortable, not well. Andres can attest. It was not like, I was not feeling it. And at the end they were like, yeah, nothing really seems to be wrong. And I'm like, okay, but that can't be true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where my frustration has come from, was like, even if the tests show it's not something super significant, like it's not cancer or it's not like polycystic ovarian system or whatever it is, like it still has to be something, because at one point a month, something was happening in my lower quadrant where I was in debilitating amounts of pain and I couldn't stand up for like an hour or two. Like Andres would have to like move me to be like, you know what I mean? And to be fair, it has gotten a lot better since I've been more active, because they were saying that when you are more physical, I guess your body can release estrogen more effectively or something like that, where it can help balance your hormones when you're more physically active. And I didn't know that. And I wasn't very physically active at that point, because it was like coming off the winter when I'm like in my worst mental health space.
Yeah.
But even still, it just like was very disheartening, the lack of, like, I was willing to put myself through the ringer. Like I literally got a needle in my neck that was spun around to get a thyroid biopsy because I had a nodule that was too big. Anyways, whatever. It wasn't like I qualified for all the tests. Like I wasn't asking for like, it wasn't off the marker. Like I had a thyroid nodule. My hormones were a little bit out of whack on my test. Like there were reasons for me getting referred. But at the end, when nothing came back as like super urgent, like the lack of curiosity to figure out what it was like completely stopped.
Yeah.
And even in me saying this, I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, that means that it wasn't anything bad, whatever. But I'm like kind of still thinking, like there's like two elements, like there's a gaslighting part of myself where I'm like, you should have just gotten over it. You knew you were fine. Like you're feeling better now when the weather gets better, for sure. And some of those things are true.
Right.
But at the same time, I didn't know that then. And I was genuinely feeling pain, discomfort, not sleeping, not feeling well.
Yeah.
And like it just felt very like nonchalant. And so, that was what was very upsetting.
This is my thought on it, I guess. Okay. Is that like I guess I've never gone through something where I'm like, oh, this feels really weird. And I've never needed to advocate for myself at a doctor. Like the thought of that, I was like, I don't know what that is. Like I've never needed to advocate. I tell him that I have a pain here, or like this is concerning. And he's like, okay, I'm going to send you for this just to ease your mind. I think it's this. And if it comes back anything different, we'll deal with it then. But he's also a very calm person. And I've seen that a lot more in the media of like influencers being like, don't forget to advocate for yourself and blah, blah, blah.
And you're kind of like, why do you need to do that?
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like your doctor. So I'm of the school of thought in one mind where like your doctor is the professional. Like they are the one that has gone to medical school. They're the one that.
Of course.
Whatever. All of that stuff. Right. Like I always think about this, like even in my own work where I'm like, you're the expert in your field. I'm the expert in my field. So like, listen to me when I say X, and I'll listen to you when you say X. So how much of that is your, because you said you like get really concerned about, what is it? What did you say? You have medical fear? Or like you
medical
have,
anxiety.
You have medical anxiety. Yeah. So how much of that is your medical anxiety? And I'm not like trying to discount it at all, but I'm like, no, is it your doctor's job to manage your medical anxiety
when it's such an interesting question.
Yeah.
You're a little shit for asking it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just curious. It's like, because there's a lot of people that are like,
and it's not like I have to take that to my therapist or to a different type of professional to get that addressed. And I would say when I say medical anxiety, I will qualify. Like when I went in to go to my colonoscopy, I'm 100% comfortable. When I go into my doctor's appointments, I'm 100% comfortable. So it's not so much like medical anxiety around like the medical profession or like around medicine. It's more that in myself, I guess it's like more of a hypochondria where it's like when I am concerned, especially with like Andre's dad has been sick this year. We have a lot of health and a lot of cancer on my paternal side of the family.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is more so not that I'm nervous to be around a medical environment or that I don't trust doctors or that whatever. It's more that I can catastrophize obviously, if I feel a lump or a bump or I feel
right
short of breath and I can't whatever or whatever might be happening in my body, I then go to, okay, well, I see that my dad had to get like 2 feet of his large intestine removed and he had diverticulitis and a part of his like intestine died. Right. And my Nana had colon cancer twice. It's like, okay, well, maybe this, stuff, yeah. this could be more serious because of the patterns that I've seen with my family. Yes, so I think yes. that's more of what it is. It's like a healthy, not so healthy, but like a healthy in terms of portion totally, size yeah. of nervousness and worry that like things are going to slip through the yeah. crack. I think that is not up to my medical profession. Because you do hear obviously.
Stories of like, oh, she got this and it was
I
like
think
the
especially
thing that-
with women, and this is exactly what I wanted to talk about was I don't know if you might not have listened to this podcast yet. If not, I highly recommend it. It's called The Retrievals. It's blowing up right now. It's become quite popular. It's a series. It's based on a true story. It's literally interviewing like the real people that were involved. It's a medical case that recently was resolved in court. The person had to go to – is going to jail. Very light sentence, unfortunately, but or fortunately, regardless, depending on how you're looking at it. But she was a nurse at a Yale fertility clinic, and she was addicted to fentanyl. She was going through a tumultuous divorce, and wow. she had stolen – hundreds of vials of fentanyl and replaced it with saline solution. So when these women were coming in for their egg retrievals as part of their IVF treatment,
I feel like they, I have heard about this.
I might have talked to you about it. I'm like very into this right now, but yeah. maybe not. So she was replacing fentanyl with saline. She was injecting the fentanyl in herself and continuing during the day to practice as a nurse, which is obviously super dangerous and wild. But people were being injected with saline solution, salt water, instead of fentanyl as a painkiller, as part of like their pain med protocol, while they were having a massive needle injected through the wall of their uterus into their ovaries to retrieve eggs. Super, super painful procedure.
Yeah.
Because you obviously need fentanyl for it. So like salt water would obviously not be doing it. And the one thing that came up a lot, and I ended up actually, I have another story after this. anyway, super painful, literally dozens, if not hundreds of women had what they saw as traumatizing levels of pain. Jesus. Some of them were passing out, throwing up when they got home, had to go to the ER, suffered miscarriages throughout their IVF because of what they saw as the like reciprocal, like the pain that was from that procedure. Like their body was yeah. not okay after. And Yale, the other doctors, they would say like, if you don't sit still, you're not going to have a baby. You want a baby, don't you? Like they were so condescending, oh my did God. Not listen to these people. They're like, well, we gave you all the meds that we could. So I don't know what you want from us. Like you're being difficult. Mm-hmm. And some of the women were Yale educated professors, Yale educated medical professionals. Yeah. And they literally were like, even in that situation, they felt like a petulant child. They felt like they were sat there and they were being difficult and they were not being listened to. And this happened for it was all throughout COVID. So it was from 2020. People wow. speculate it was from earlier, but
yeah, yeah.
2019, oh 2020 into 2022. And it's like, this is really a prevalent thing that people or prevalent thing that people don't realize that, especially with Black and Brown women, pain is not listened to.
Heard, yeah.
And then with women as well, overarchingly, like the umbrella obviously yeah. is with women. And then obviously it affects Black and Brown women far more.
Mm-hmm.
Like pain is written off. A lot of the time.
I mean, yeah.
Like, and I think that's where it also feeds into my,
yes.
whether it's delusion or anxiety or fear, mm-hmm. that, hey, even if you are a woman, you've been in the medical, she's been in the field for so long, she also is ingrained with that bias of not listening for to sure. my pain and my discomfort. When I'm saying I'm in debilitating pain, I can't get up, to her, she might just say, oh, well, it might just be bad period cramps. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm saying. But to her, that my fear is that's what it's getting filtered through.
Yes. Okay. I get that. I totally get that.
It's yeah. a really good podcast. It's yeah, so I definitely exceptionally produced. You have like I would. Really
I definitely
want
to listen
it.
To it. So yeah. I was gonna ask, when do you feel like your body has changed? I mean, obviously your body has changed as you've gotten a little bit older, like 30, 31, yes. like any yeah. of that stuff. I guess like when did you first notice
this
that
year.
It's like this year?
Oh my God! Yeah, this year.
Really? Eh.
So significantly and. This actually leads me into like why I was listening to The Retrieval, not why I was listening to it, but why it resonated with me is because I am in the process of looking into potentially freezing my eggs or getting my fertility tested because yep. I'm at 31. I'm moving away for at least a year. Not sure where I'm at, like baseline for
babies.
babies and family and whatever, and I want to make sure that I'm setting myself up for success. And it's been initiated by my mom, who is kind of just like, listen, just get the information. Information is power. Might as well do it. And I had an incredible chat with the nurse who had also listened to the podcast. And
she was like, hilarious.
We are an all-female clinic and we listen to pain and we will not let that happen to you. And I was like, girl, I love that so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
But she literally was like, I'm going to call my boss after this because she's been waiting for someone to bring it up on one of the consult calls. So anyways, that was very funny. But this year, especially because I'm training for a marathon, I have had I've been quite lucky throughout my 20s to have had a pretty baseline athletic kind of figure. Yeah. Without really feeling like I was always active, but I wasn't feeling like I was like, oh, I have to run every day or be overly right. active. I felt very lucky with the baseline. I think my mom and dad are both very athletic, and I felt like that was something that was just like kind of passed down to me genetically, and I was very lucky for that. Honestly, since I turned 30, I had a really terrible winter, was the least active and the lowest mental health wise, not of my time, but it was
one of the
together
worst. Yeah.
A little bit of a storm of like, I was not doing anything. I was not moving my body. I was not eating very well. And I just wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
But usually when this happens, come spring when I start getting more active, I feel my body is able to bounce back. I hate that kind of phrasing, but like I felt like I could feel like myself again quite quickly.
Yeah.
After the fog of winter mm-hmm. passed, I was like, okay, I'm going to start walking, moving. And then I would kind of feel like myself more and more, and physically and mentally, those things would kind of correlate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mentally, I feel amazing, but physically I felt like that change has been way slower.
Yeah.
Like way slower. And I think the bar has been raised really high in what my body needs to feel and look the way that I used to look.
Yep.
Like I was looking at pictures of me from last year when I went to Miami, and I was like, the fact that I even was self-conscious for a millisecond. Everyone does this where they like look back on pictures and they're like, you moron, you wasted time.
I wish I was
getting
as
slowly into your bathing suit.
Yeah. Fat as I was when I first thought I was fat.
Right.
Yeah.
Like literally the delusion of like, I wasted so much energy and time, like hiding myself being like, oh my God. And I look back, I'm like, that's the thinnest I've ever been. Like stupid bitch. You wasted all this fun and energy being like, oh my gosh, I'm going to wear my shorts on the beach because I don't want to. And I remember Amy Poehler and Tina Fey actually have a quote about this where they were like, get outside your fucking head. Wear the bathing suit. You look amazing. You're going to look back in 5 years and wish that you felt and looked the way that you do.
I do that now.
Stop. Yeah, totally.
I do that now.
And I'm noticing, especially with I'm arguably the most active I've ever been. I'm running like a fucking racehorse and I'm exhausted.
For a freaking marathon.
Literally. And we're playing soccer and I'm walking all over the goddamn place. And I don't physically feel as though that correlates with my activity level.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
Which has been a little frustrating. Like I do feel a little bit of that runner's plateau. I don't know, where I'm like, your body gets used to a certain level of cardio activity and then it stops, kind of like these big changes stop. But I also feel older, where I just don't feel as like spry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
no.
That's, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, I have to take my vitamins. I have to stretch for like 45 fucking minutes while we're watching The Bear.
Oh yeah,
and I just, my knees hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I probably sent you this TikTok, but it's like this one young woman who's literally saying like, I knew aging was going to happen. I just didn't think it was going to happen to me personally.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I feel. I knew like my face would have some lines and I have my cute crow's feet and all good. I just didn't realize that like the actual body stuff, like feeling older would happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has happened to me and it's been very humbling and sad and I don't like it. But I'm grateful and I love my body and all those things. I it's not a negative thing.
I think it's just like finding a new way to move with it.
Exactly. I need you just to gotta find adjust a new way to my expectation and find a new way to move with my body instead of against it, where I'm like finding then I don't want to be resentful. I'm so grateful for the movement that my body can do.
For sure.
Have you felt that at all, being a little bit older than me?
I think that I found my biggest thing is that I I gain weight, whether I'm happy, sad, excited, anything. Like I, that's like my instant body stress response. That's my instant body response to any life event.
I guess like big emotion.
Yeah. So over the last year that I've talked about all these like stresses, my body has definitely, I feel like, held on to it. And it's like I gained 20 pounds, what feels like overnight. Because I'll look back at pictures and be like, oh my God, like I don't look like that. Or I'll look at pictures now of like from me from friends' weddings or like on vacations and stuff. And I'm like, whose body is that? Like it doesn't.
Wow.
For a while, my body did not feel like mine. Like I can't explain it. I just was like, it doesn't feel like me. Like this body does not feel like me. Wow. And I think it's because I was holding on to so much stress, which is another reason I went into that I started therapy, because I was like, maybe I'm holding on to more than I realize. So I'm excited about, and it's hilarious because like literally three sessions in and we've already gotten to like body image and I'm like, oh no, I'm good with that. And she's like, I don't think you
like,
are.
Let's just like double check with this person.
Yeah. And now I feel, I am starting to feel so much better. I do feel a lot lighter.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, it was really messing with my head because years and years ago I threw out my scale, like I didn't have a scale. And then when I like now when I'm actively trying to change my body, I'm seeing like weigh yourself every day, because like your body fluctuates so much that weighing yourself every week or every month, whatever, you won't account for the changes in between. And so it's like get an average. But I'm noticing like I could wake up and feel amazing about the way I look and then step on a scale and everything that I felt about my body literally 4 seconds earlier out the door. So I've stopped doing that as well. And I think maybe that's what's helped me too, because I feel a lot lighter and I am a lot more active. But yeah, I just feel like the minute I don't know if it was like a I turn 31 thing or it was like a mix of like in the last,
it's a bit of a perfect storm, I think.
Yeah, like in the last year and a half, it's like almost 2 years, I guess, I've like met Fernando and I've like, so it's like I've fallen in love and I've also dealt with a lot of like external stressors of like jobs and my condo and this and that. So it's like I gained weight because I was super happy and then I also gained weight because I was super stressed.
Super stressed,
yeah. I guess I just didn't notice it and now I'm finding it difficult to lose that or like at least get to a place where I'm like, huh, okay, well these, yeah, my body just didn't feel like mine for a really long time and it is very slowly starting to feel like mine again. But
I'm so glad.
Yeah, it just was this, it was a really weird feeling. I'm like, that I'd look at pictures and be like, that's not me, like I don't know who that person is, but that is not me. Like I don't know, I'm not gonna shit talk how she looks, but that's not me. And then I think about what you said of like, oh, you know, like in 10 years time, I'm going to look back at these pictures and I'm like at my friend's wedding or like I'm on vacation with my family. And
you're like, oh my God, fun.
Yeah, this is so fun. This is stuff I'm going to look back on and love. So yeah. I'm not going to delete pictures or be like, no, get rid of those. But yeah, but it's a very strange feeling. It is
important to reframe. Like I think, and this is something that I think about a lot with like within the fat acceptance and like body positivity movement, which can, I think, and this is not really like a community obviously that I am a part of, but I am very supportive of. It's like you need to do whatever is best for you to feel like yourself and to feel you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like that you will feel more like you might end up feeling like more confident and more beautiful. But I think like people need to feel beautiful at all of their sizes, at any size that they end up being. But I do think that at the same time, like I remember having this conversation with somebody that was like really upset about like a fat woman on a magazine. They're like, well, it's kind of endorsing obesity. I'm like, well, the skinny people on the magazines are
endorsing.
Also not healthy. Like we don't know what her health is just because she's 110 pounds. Do you feel like she's endorsing an unhealthy habit like cocaine or binging and purging? Like we have no idea what this woman's life is and we have no idea what this woman's life is.
Yeah.
And we don't know what her health metrics are.
Yeah.
Just because you are perceiving her as unhealthy does not mean that's the case. And we don't have a problem with skinny, unhealthy people. You know
what I mean?
Yeah, we
don't. Yeah,
we only have a problem with fat unhealthy people, and we project all of this disgust and judgment and whatever. And I have some family issues with fat phobia that's like really has been like a really big issue for our family, mm-hmm. that I just feel like it's I don't know even where I'm going with this point. I just think I've had some conversations with people that have lost weight where they find a really crazy correlation with how they're treated once they lose. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think you and I've talked about this. We won't obviously bring up anybody, but like where people like compliment somebody or like they'll mm-hmm. be like, oh my God, you look amazing. And it's like, you have no idea.
You have no idea. Yeah.
What that person's going through.
Yeah.
I've had friends that have lost a lot of weight because they've had family members die or like super stressful things. And then people are like, oh my God, you look insane. You're incredible. And it's like, she's literally in the lowest part of her life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I talk about this with Andres a lot because in Hispanic culture, I have found it's very commenty on people's bodies. Like it's mm-hmm. very common to be like,
yes,
well, you got a big butt or you got this or oh my gosh, you're so skinny or oh, you're so chunky. And I'm saying like, I always look and I'm like, don't say anything about anybody's body. Like just, you have no idea. They could be the happiest they've ever been. They could be the lowest. They could be going through a breakup. We don't know. So shut up. Like just say, hey, like how have you been feeling? Like mm-hmm. how is work? How's your life? Are you happy right now? And then you can be like, well, you seem really happy or you like are glowing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if they say, oh, I'm actually going through a really terrible time, but you're like, oh, well, at least you're skinny. It's like, what kind of messaging
literally,
is that?
I could you know totally what I mean? Hear that too.
Oh, I hate how people compliment you when you, anyway.
One of the things too that I'm like learning too is that like now with my body changes, like all 6 years ago when I started this like body love and body mm-hmm. acceptance journey, I guess, the things that maybe work for me then, I'm not sure if they work for me right now because it's like I was a smaller body at the time. So like, and now that I'm not, I'm like, okay. So it's this whole like go through the whole level. I guess it is growth because I mean, once you do that 100%. Stuff, because once you do that stuff, I don't ever hate my body again. I feel like I was at a point where I really like hated, disliked. I don't hate my body. I'm just like, girl, snap it up a little bit. Let's get a little tighter around here. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. It's kind of like a, like it's more in a loving.
It's like, a loving, like a.
Let's get going. Let's get
this
going.
Like, let's get this started. You know what I mean?
That's cute.
So it is a way of, like, you just have to learn how to accept it again fully. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's this really weird like place where you can love your body as it is right now and you can love it and accept it and celebrate it and all of the things.
Yes.
But you can also want to change it at the same time.
That's the point I was trying to get to, but I got lost in all of the points that were swimming in my brain. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Is that both things can exist at the
same
time.
They can coexist. Of course they can.
Because I remember, this isn't like a great example now because like Lizzo's in a little bit of hot water like on the public stage.
Yeah.
But I remember Lizzo was like, she got a personal trainer and she started eating more like greens and like juices and whatever.
Yeah.
And people came for her throat and she was like, I love myself, but I also want to challenge myself and work out a little bit more and see where that takes me as well. Like both things can happen at the same time.
Exactly.
And I really like that idea that like you can be even neutral with where your body is now and then be like, well, I still want to physically challenge myself, mentally challenge myself and see where that takes my body. And that's totally fine.
I do think it comes to a mindset of like, am I doing this because I dislike the way I look and because I dislike my body? Am I punishing it by doing hours and hours of cardio or like eating very little? Like, is this a punishment or am I trying
celebrating what my body can
do? Am I trying to just like take care of it a little bit more? Like,
yes,
when I do put on more weight, maybe stuff feels uncomfortable or like maybe it like adds to joint and muscle pain, like all of that stuff, you know?
And like maybe you want to
I want
to
see like
longevity wise, like be able to feel a little bit like more active or be able to like go for whatever. Like who gives a shit? Whatever your thing is.
It's just not, I guess, back when I did it the first time, I was 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I must have been, 25, 26. So it's weird because you're like 25, 26, like your body's still like, it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I could think differently about myself. I found at the time I could think differently about myself. I still wasn't weighing myself. I wasn't on any sort of diet or anything, but I was losing weight, or maybe I was delusionally losing weight because I was like, I now love the way I look so much more. Where that's not as simple as it is.
No.
Right now.
I remember, can I say really, this is like such a classic, like, thin white girl thing that I did.
Yeah.
And it's really embarrassing. And yeah. I'm going to send you the picture after. I mean, okay, I won't even send you the picture. It's just, it's so embarrassing. I found a story that I had posted on Instagram of me in a bathing suit and I'm like sitting down and I, not a joke, I posted saying like, finding like love with my body, like this is my body, whatever, whatever. And it's like me trying to do body positivity stuff.
Okay.
It's in like 2019.
And is it like you have literal skin rolls? Like it's just your skin?
No, it's like my entire body. Okay. There isn't even a roll. Like I literally look like, I didn't even know that my body looked like that at any point. Like the video, like I like literally was looking at this picture and I was like, it might've been 2018, like a while ago. And
yeah,
I cringed so fucking hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, girl, you thought this was brave.
Yeah.
You thought it was brave.
Yeah, of course.
My caption is so earnest and it's so sincere, which makes it even worse because I have no fucking self-awareness in the fact that, I mean, everyone's going through their own thing.
Totally.
Whatever, blah, 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 blah. In that moment, I literally thought that that wasn't a flattering picture of me. And I can't even believe that I did that. Like, it's actually so uncomfortable. I need to send it to you because it's,
I need to find
the caption that I put on it because it's one of the, maybe if I'm feeling funny, I'll put it on the stories at XNL Friends just so people can have like a really good
laugh about
at
it.
The like white girl that has no self-awareness, but it is 12 out of 10, the funniest thing I've ever, I cannot believe that I posted that with my full chest.
So there's this influencer, her name is Valeria Lipovetsky, and I know.
Yes, I know
So
she does that thing too, though.
I follow her because I love her style, but I cannot stand her anymore. And she's
when
literally
she talking
like
about her jets and stuff that she was
she's
going
like
on,
100 pounds soaking wet and she she'll like do like angles and so she'll post herself from the front and then she'll post herself sitting down, but I noticed that she like
she
tries to hunch over
I'm like,
the rules that you're showing us, hun,
it's
are
like
skin.
Rules of skin.
It's skin. It's literally your skin folding over that anybody is going to have, and if you don't have, it's kind of strange. Like it's skin, and so it really pisses me off because she does that all the time. She still does that currently. Like
She's like, I'm beautiful here and I'm beautiful there. I'm like, yeah, you're beautiful both ways because you're basically see-through. You're so skinny. Like literally, where do you get off?
Absurd. So don't feel bad. I mean, there's influencers with millions upon millions of followers that are still doing that.
I know, it is a very common TikTok trend to be like, I love myself like this and I love myself like this. And it's like they just fully
and it was
like,
just
try
like
to collapse their backs to make the like have like an ounce of a roll. I'm like,
yeah. And it was just a reason for all the skinny girls to hop on a trend and like show off their body and people be like, oh my God, but like you're my. Like,
but wait, you're still perfect.
Yeah. Your before is like what I want my after to look like.
Oh my God. The captions in those videos are always the same. Hey.
I'm like, I can't.
Jesus Christ.
Get out of here.
I know.
You're also probably 23. Way. So your body is like. You can look at a piece of lettuce and lose 15 pounds. Like, let's not
I know.
Go
and
there.
It's so funny. I used to always get annoyed when my dad used – or when my mom used to say stuff like that. She'd be like, well, you know, at 30, your body actually, like, physiologically changes and your metabolism does slow. And I was like, yeah,
not
whatever.
Not going to happen to me.
Not to me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yes. To me.
To me. It absolutely happened to me.
Yes.
Anyway, so if you're in your 30s or, like, late 20s and you find this happening, this is – this, I feel like, is very, very, very normal.
It's common and we're in it with you. And even if it's not something that you're going through, but eventually, like, I think we all need to get to a point where we feel more comfortable with the changes that naturally are going to happen with our bodies. Like, regardless, there are going to be things that come up that will change.
Sure.
And we're going to have to be okay with
roll with it. We're going to have to roll with the punches.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway,
I'm gonna find this video. I'm gonna find this picture and send it to you. And
okay.
I'm gonna post on the stories later so we can all make fun of how fucking annoying I am.
I can't wait.
I cannot wait.
I cannot wait. I'll be the first one.
Perfect. Well, I love you. I'm going to Vancouver soon. Very exciting.
So exciting. By the time this episode comes out, you will have gone and come back.
Oh, cool. Love that. Well, check out my Instagram stories.
But have the best time.
I will. Okay, love you.
Love you.
This has been Accidental Friends with Aline and Kristen. This podcast was created by us and produced by Chloe Jackson. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on Instagram, Accidental Friends Podcast, TikTok, Accidental Friends. We got to post on TikTok more. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. We love you, and we'll see you on Thursday.